Couple boxes down.
No, I'm supposed to stop by. I haven't got a goddamn minute. Between my grandmother and the television shows and stuff, you know.
Yeah, they were telling us you're really doing. You must have done 20 interviews since you've been in town or something. God
knows, they kept track of them. I just do it. I said, what's next? I'm just a prop. They push me around.
Well, you seem to face the mornings with grace here. Much easier than I did. You're in an up mood and everything after all the interviews. You're pulling out of town today. On the road.
3:40,
back.
Yeah. Eastern Airlines to Los Angeles.
Oh, you wanted to go to Los Angeles?
They've got you going to Atlanta.
And then some girlfriend of his gonna meet me there and take me to the train. I live in Del Mar, you know, on the beach. Mm-hmm. This is north of San Diego. Beautiful.
You need the ocean around you all the time, I would think.
Yeah, I'm on an old Pisces fellow, you know.
Water makes you feel
I got good. Two homes, one in Del Mar, which is right on the ocean, and one in Baja California, which is right on top of the Sierra Cortez. The one in Baja is even closer to the ocean than the one in Del Mar.
Desi, tell us about this jacket that you're wearing. It's very attractive.
Somebody gave me this last time I was here. You know, when I wrote a book, which was called A Book, you know, every time you write a book now, you've got to go around and hustle it, you know. So the last time I was here, I was hustling the book. I ain't got nothing particular to hustle on except the carnival.
Which is a big event, and all of Miami's looking forward to. You're like a native son to us down here. You're telling us you went to high school, graduated high school.
Oh, hell yes.
What year was that, and what school were you?
Well, I got here. You know, my dad was mayor of my hometown in Cuba. And he was a congressman. A very wealthy man. He had a few farms. He would raise cattle. He was the first guy to introduce pasteurized milk in Cuba. And then the revolution came, the Machado thing in 1933. And 48 hours, he lost everything he had. Everything.
So you're the first flight of Cuban refugees? Well,
when we got here, then he was in jail 6 months. They put all the congressmen in jail, all the senators, all the law, all the mayors, all the governors, everybody was in the can. And he was there for 6 months. Then when he got out, he came here first, and then he sent for me a few months later. And you know, a strange thing though, George, that's the time you find who your friends are. Of all those people used to come to the house, you know, for dinner and big parties, my dad was a big shot. I tried to get some money to get here, you know, just for the passage, which wasn't that expensive those days, you know. None of them big shots. My father's secretary found loaned me money.
When you least expect it.
That's when you find who the friends are. So then I graduated from high school in St. Pat's in 37. See, I couldn't go to school because I didn't have any money to pay for the tuition. I work as a bus boy, I work as a taxi driver, as a truck driver. Oh, the first job I had was a beauty.
So when you got, did anybody speak Spanish when you came to Miami at that time?
Very few. You know, I couldn't speak English, so I was going around, you know, see if I can find a restaurant that says, si habla español, you know. And after quite a long walk around the southwest area, you know, with the Havana. I found one place in Seattle, Espanol. Now, day before yesterday, we toured that whole area, and I think I saw one place that's English spoken. complete terrible. But I'm so goddamn proud of Cubans here, you know.
What's your feeling on Miami here with the Cuban influence?
I think they've done a wonderful job. You know, they're hardworking people. Fun-loving, hard-working. You know, last time I was here, the mayor was kind enough to ask me lunch or whatever. And I said, well, what do you think of my Cuban compatriotas, compatriots? You know? He said, Desi, if they left Miami, we all go broke. He said, they do more for the economy of the town and everything. You know, so I'm very proud of them. And one of the things that we hope to do in the carnival, first of all, is the most fun I ever had in my life. I remember when I was a kid, I never missed that. You know, 3-4 days all week, you know, everybody dancing, and the beautiful girls and costumes and
Spanish
music.
Mardi Gras.
And, yeah, they're like the Mardi Gras, you know, yeah. They had it in Havana, they had it in my hometown. And we haven't had it since pre-Castro days, you know. So we're going to have hope to make it as good as it was.
What kind of a role are you playing in the planning and the organization?
You want to bow now or later? I am the king of the carnival. You want to kiss my hand or later?
You're getting your orchestra back together specifically?
Yeah, I had some of them here the other night. Marco Rizzo is another Cuban, great pianist, brilliant. You know, he worked with me for 20 years. Now he's doing Carnegie Hall with the symphony orchestra and all kinds of things, and he writes his own stuff. And I haven't seen him for 20 years, so when these guys call me about the carnival, I said, geez, so I gotta get, you know, somebody to help me with the music and stuff. You know, if I'm gonna do something, I wanna do it right, you know, or not do it. I'm trying to put the band together in California, then bring all those guys out here. First of all, it was very expensive. So I found him, he was in New York. I said, will you come down a couple of days, you know, just to kick this thing off, and then we can talk about it and help me with this. Organizing the stuff for March, you know. And then the other guy, that was also another arranger of mine and pianist, I had two pianos at one time. The album we did for RCA, for example, we featured both Marco and René Toussaint, who's here in Miami. He lives here. He's got an orchestra here. So, you know, he's gonna be in charge of getting all the other guys, you know. But with these two guys, and we got our drummer, my first trumpet player, so, you know, in pretty good shape, because the other guys, they can get, they're very good musicians.
Knowing the reaction you're going to get when the orchestra plays in Miami, is there a chance that maybe there'll be a road tour set up for Miami or Latin America with your orchestra?
Latin America, maybe.
There's such a
because I never done that. And they've been talking to me about that, and I'm a lazy son of a gun, you know, I don't know. You know, I like to stay at the beach and go fishing and play golf, you know, but they've been talking to me about a Latin American tour, and I never seen Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela. I never gone any further down than Panama. So it might be fun, you know, if we get the group ready here for the carnival.
Do a series of shows here in Miami and then go on the road.
And then take the guys to the Latin tour, you know, because it'd be fun, you know. Frank Sinatra just came back from Brazil. And he says, I tell you, they're the greatest time I ever had in my life.
Greatest audience.
Yeah. That's what he told me. It was unbelievable. You know, he worked in a nightclub one week. Then he did the big stadium deal, you know, concert. But one week he worked this nightclub. I forgot the name of it, but since I was 700 people, 1,000 cover charge per couple. Hmm. That's $350,000 a night.
What?
I said, well, I probably wouldn't make as much as you do, Frank, but 50,000 wouldn't be bad, you know. Per night, what the hell, I'll take it.
When was the last time you've had the orchestra in front of a live situation? I know you did a set.
The Lucy, I love, oh yeah, that's the last time.
Was that anybody from the original?
Well, some of our, you know, guys, were Peter Max did was the conductor and the arranger and stuff. But some of my key guys, you know.
What'd that feel
drummer,
like?
Desi played the drums for me that time.
I saw
he's pretty darn good in the drums.
You think he'll be doing any guest appearances?
If he's not working on a picture or something, he'll come down with me. He's a good drummer.
Excellent.
Very good.
I used to be told I'd look
like he's a good looking son of a gun. Man, my best friend.
When he was in high school, he had a band himself, Desi, Dino, and Billy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Dino is my godson.
So,
yeah.
Dino Martin.
He's about to get married. You know, that beautiful gal that won all the medals in the Olympics, Dorothy? Dorothy Hamill? Yeah. They're getting married, I don't know, next week or something. Pretty quick.
You still get what's the feeling like getting in front of a live audience now?
It's always fun. Yeah, sure. Yeah. There's nothing like a live audience. That's why we had so much fun doing Out of Lucy, because we were the first ones to do it. We had multiple cameras in front of an audience, you know. And, you know, I like the thing that we were listening to before with the album, you know. That was done in front of an audience.
Hold this up and tell us a little bit about what we
Well, this won't come out till after the first of the year, but it's the original soundtrack from the show with the original Desiana's Orchestra. And he has some, you know, the ones that the people like the best, you know, like you and Pete and Babalu and Cumbanchero and Granada. Luz is in it with me. We have some, you know, what I thought was some of the best musical moments, and then some of the, you know, funniest things, you know, when she did a number with me, you know. And, this guy did a beautiful job, you know, what do you call it?
Remixing.
Into the disc, because, you know, it's the original soundtrack 31 years ago.
Did you do any narration now for
the Yeah, some in there, narration. Yeah. Just tell them what it is. You know, I said this is the original soundtrack from Out of Lucy. It started in September or something, 1951.
So what are you going to do, Desi, if this gets on the Billboard charts with a bullet? You're going to be, then you're going to be forced to go on the road.
That might be the first one. I never sold too many records. Except maybe Babalu and Cuban Pete, that did pretty good. But I was never a big record seller. I don't know why. Because I was very good.
So what other ingredients are going to be in the festival, the Carnival Miami?
The main ingredient, we're going to have the most beautiful gals in the world in there. All the Cuban gals in there with a beautiful, and they're gorgeous, I'm telling you. The beautiful costumes and the,
that's what's happened to Miami.
Beautiful stuff. And we have the comparsas and the floats, you know, just like the, see, well, you have Masquerade Ball one night to kick off the thing. That's March 13th, isn't it? I'm looking at some of the guys that are helping me with this deal.
Will there be a lot of nighttime festivities? So there's lots of
Sure, night, day, and then all the restaurants and all the hotels, they're all going to have their own kind of a thing coordinating with it, you know. And then, of course, we have Calle Ocho one night, and it's going to be carried over 100 television stations. You know, the Spanish International Network, SIN, S-I-M. Mm-hmm. He's coming down to do that. You know, the fellow that does that show was called Siempre Domingo. Domingo. They do beautiful shows. You know, they travel all over the world and pick out, you know, talent from. And so they're going to carry that, the 100 stations. Then one night we got the whole Orange Bowl. That's what the contest will be. See who's got the best group. Because there are groups coming from all over Latin America besides the Latins that are here.
You going to be one of the judges?
I told you I was the king for a round.
Judge, king, MC, star? So you're going to be set up in the middle of the Orange Bowl, or you're going to pack the place?
Yeah, and then they're going to have tents all around the Orange Bowl with all kinds of Latin food, you know, the roast pig and black beans and rice and picadillo and paella and arroz con pollo, tostones, pasteles, bacardi, Cuba Libre, daiquiri, everything. We're going to have a ball.
Delicious.
Yeah. Sounds good now, huh? Yeah. I like to have daiquiri right now. You didn't bring it. No. Wow, all right. Go ahead.
Is this going to be an annual event? Do you see this happening every year and your participation in it being
Well, you know, they had it as an annual event, but only for one day at Calle Ocho. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that they attempting to make it, you know, a whole week celebration. I think it'll be successful because it's so much fun. Yeah, I mean, how can you go wrong with beautiful gals and music and dancing and good food and, you know.
Do you think the city of Miami?
We all need a week of laughter and fun, you know, with all these darn problems that are in the world today, you know, it's kind of.
How would you address those problems, Desi? You know, it's everybody knows the influence that the Cubans have had on South Florida, and yet there seems to be some strife, and it seems to be blamed. The blame is placed in the wrong place because of the economy and. And what's your feelings being here now, being here then?
You know, it's not just about the Cuban problems, but you know, I've been an American citizen for a long time. I was in the army for 3 years, the American army. I want you to know. We have a bad habit of generalizing everything, you know, putting tags on everybody, labels, you know. And really, you know, most people are people. sure, there's some good Cubans and some lousy Cubans, and good gringos and there's some lousy gringos, you know. And whatever you want to pick, the same thing, you know. But the people are people, you know. If the people of the world could get to know each other better without each one of our independent or individual or different governments lousing us up, I think we'd be fine, you know. I'm sure you want the same things that the Russian boy likes, or a Japanese fellow, or Argentinian, you know. That's why I think our show, I Love Lucy show, was so popular, still in 72 countries around the world.
Still airing in 72 countries.
Because, you see, it's about people. It's about husband and wife and neighbors and friends. We never did political jokes or ethnic jokes or made fun of people that had some kind of a defect, none of that. And everybody understands that, you know. A Japanese husband and wife, they got the same problem that you got with yours, you know, or I got with my grandmother, you know, same thing, you know.
What were some of the words Lucy always used to make fun of you on the show for that you used to say? There was a couple that you used to, I can't recall which ones you used to say that you said she would...
If, you know, when I think about it, I don't say it wrong. That's the problem. Once I become aware of it, I usually have trouble with the NGs, you know, at the end of the word. You know, I kind of brush off the G, you know, instead of saying thing, I just say thing, you know. I'm kind of lazy, you know. Now, if I think, if when I sing, I don't have the accent.
It's like English.
Is this strange?
English, too, when I sing, you know, they don't sound English.
What's that another one? D-O-N. Apostrophe T.
Don't
is the right word, right? I said don't. But see, if I think about it, I can say it right. I tell you one funny story about the show being in different countries. This might be a good one for you to finish your deal with. Very popular in Japan. You know, ball pleasure. A guy that handled the syndication over there in Japan, I think it was 5-6 years ago, so he came to Hollywood, and he had a print for the show. They dub it, you know, in Japanese. And he said, would you like to see your show in Japanese? I said, yeah, oh my God, that'd be funny, you know. So we got a projection room, and he put the film on. And you could swear that Fred and Ethel and Lucy and I are talking Japanese. I mean, they do it a great job, you know, they're dubbing, you know. So, oh, I never had so much fun looking and listening to this thing, you know. So, and then after the thing, I said to him, wait a minute, I said, one thing that I don't understand. You know, a lot of the humor in the show reminded me of you because you said about which words, you know. A lot of the humor is that that Ricky speaks lousy English. And Lucy, the correction, or make fun of it, or whatever, you know. So how do you handle that in Japanese? He said, we got a Japanese fellow who spoke lousy Japanese to dub your voice. I said, why the hell did I think of that? I mean, do you ever think about a Japanese guy talking with an accent?
Never.
Well, I guess they do, you know, same as we do, you know. They do have them, you know.
Different dialects of Spanish.
Yeah, she probably had the girl dubbing Lucy's voice, because, you know, girls spoke pure Japanese, and this kid that dubbed my voice was some guy from Korea or something, you know, that didn't sound as well, you know, pure. So, but I said, well, you know, what a simple solution, you know, and I never thought about it. And they do the same thing in every country. All the guys that speak
bad whatever languages,
they get the job, dub my voice.
Right.
They got a job.
Slang,
German, French, Spanish, Japanese, whatever.
That must be a kick.
And they didn't have to change anything. All the jokes work.
Which you think would not in